So last week, if you forgot or you weren't paying attention, we started back our series in James. And I concluded last week by saying that when we speak, we can affect change. And that it is the change of the words that Jesus spoke that we speak every time our mouths open. And James pointed out last week that when we speak, knowing that we were first silenced because we didn't have anything to say about the work and act of Jesus, that when we speak and when we're moved by that silence and when we're moved by that act, that our words actually become the power of changing. And that means the back talking, the trash talking, the bad mouthing, etc. It all dies to silence because we know that Jesus will not use those words to build. And in fact, what happens is that when we speak so that people are encouraged, so that people can see and feel and understand that there is good news when there is no other news to be said or heard. Today we're going to continue on the second half of James chapter 3. And what James does is he continues on speaking about how our faith affects what we do. And today, James is going to touch upon what is true wisdom and what is false wisdom. Moreover, what it means to know what to do but not to do it. Or not know what to do and not do it. So we're going to read. And we're going to look at six verses today. And it starts in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. And it goes like this. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I want to stop here for a second. Because to understand this passage, you have to understand two fundamental truths about where James is coming from. And the first truth is this, that God is for God's glory. God is for God's own glory. And what that means is, look at the book of Psalms. The reason he does things, the reason God does things, the reason God moves, the reason God saves is, yes, for you, but moreover, to prove that he is God and that God is good. And that God does these things not because you earned them or deserve them, but because God loves you more. And because he loves you more, he does these things freely in love because he is love. So therefore, God is of God's glory. Everything he does is about his glory. Everything that he does in our lives is about bringing attention to the fact that God is God in our lives. And that's a fundamental truth. And James wants us to understand that. The second truth is this, that God created us for a divine purpose, and it's our choice to decide what we want to do with it. And this is very simple, right? This we have to understand and see as this, that we are called because God manifests his glory in our lives to choose how we seek God in our lives. So if you look in the Old Testament, you look at any of the books of the prophets, you'll see that there's always a little section in any of the books where God calls the prophet and God gives him the choice, or God gives her the choice to do what he or she believes in faith that he or she should do. And it's none the more evident than in Jeremiah, where God says to Jeremiah, I've known you before you were even born, when you were in your mother's womb. And I had great plans for you to raise you up. And he says this again in Isaiah. He goes, who will speak for us? Knowing very well that Isaiah was there. But Isaiah still had the choice. And in the bravery of his faith, he chose to speak. Jeremiah chose to speak. Hosea chose to speak. None of these people were prophets by any means. They chose it because God was doing some glorious stuff in their lives and decided they needed to walk in it. So when we look back at this passage, right, and when we look at back in the book of James, we see that he marks very simply these two truths to false wisdom and true wisdom. Let me talk a little about false wisdom. And before we actually get into it, I want to stop it. And because this really makes me think about the stock crash of 1929. And I know some of you haven't visited American history or world history in ages, but...
The Great Depression.
That's right. The Great Depression. And when I read this, especially verse 13, it became very interesting. Because James starts out by saying, who is wise and understanding amongst you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And what he's saying is not that meekness is weak or not that wisdom is meek, but that wisdom actually does stuff quietly. Wisdom doesn't have to shout and say, hey, look at what I'm doing. Wisdom just does and it happens. Right? This is what James is saying. And so what made me think about the Great Depression is Joe Kennedy. If you don't know who Joe Kennedy is, he's the father of John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy, the Kennedy clan. And he was actually the first commissioner of the SEC. If you don't know what the SEC is, it's, you know, the governing body of all the stocks and companies that make sure that, you know, we don't fall into a Great Depression again. And so what he said was, one day I was going to work and I decided I was going to get my shoes shined before work. And you guys probably heard the story, maybe refreshing in your memories, but I was getting my shoe shine and the shoe shine boy told me, hey, invest in Hindenburg. And he said, that was the moment I knew I should sell all my stock and get out of the stock market. And, you know, on October 29, Bloody Friday, Bloody Monday, you guys know what happens. The stock market crashes. A few weeks later, the Hindenburg explodes. Hindenburg stock goes fall apart. And the Great Depression starts, right? Meanwhile, John F. Kennedy and Kennedy brothers and Joe Kennedy are living happily, not in depression, because they've divested all their stocks. And the point of the story, the apocryphal nature of the story was this, right? That if a shoe shine boy is giving you stock tips and you're in the stock market and he's shining your shoes, there's something wrong. There's something greatly wrong because this shoe shine boy is giving me stock tips, but I'm the stock broker. And so we have these instances in life, don't we, right? Like we know what's right. We know what to do, but we don't do it. On the flip side, people who think they know and people who tell us that they're right tell us things, but we know for sure that they're not right because if they were right, they wouldn't be where they are. Like, I wouldn't go, you know, to the dry cleaner and ask, hey, what's wrong with my blood? Right? Like, I feel sick. I have this coughing. And my blood is green. I would not go to a dry cleaner for that. And if you do go to a dry cleaner and ask that, that's kind of weird. And it's not very wise. You'd go to a doctor. Likewise, you wouldn't go to a doctor and say, hey, what's wrong with my car? My car starts sputtering. And the doctor can be like, oh, maybe it's a cough. But really, cars don't cough. Right? I mean, this is the same nature, right? This is the same thing. Sometimes we know what's right and what's wrong, but we just don't follow it. That brings us to saying that there are marks of false wisdom. But more than just going to the wrong people for the wrong things, we sometimes do things for the wrong reasons even though we know it's wrong. So if we look at verse 14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. And what James is saying is this, that your life is not about you. Your life is not about you. You see, the problem is about wisdom. We believe when we're living our lives that our lives are actually about us. But wisdom tells us that it's really not about us. Because whether we're here or whether we're not, the world keeps moving. Time keeps flowing. People get along just fine. And to have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, like that's the reason and the sole purpose that we do anything in life, really bounds us into a type of slavery. Here's what I'm talking about, right? So if we believe that the two fundamental truths that I told you about God is true, that God is for God's glory, and that God created us for a purpose that we can choose to live into, it means that we don't have to choose to live into it, right? That moreover, that God really does stuff and the world would revolve around us. And we all seen what happens in Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty, that if we actually have a God that actually does stuff for us because we believe that the world revolves around us, the world would just fall apart in chaotic disarray, right? And that if we have this bitter jealousy, and what I mean by bitter jealousy is that we believe it's not just that something that we want, but we believe that we should have it instead of somebody else because they don't deserve it, and that motivates us to do stuff, motivates us to do things, that makes our lives miserable because we look at other people and then that becomes a source of all the fracturing in our relationships, and that all the failures and shortcomings that we have at the workplace is because we believe that we deserve something that we don't actually deserve. That's very short to say that we'll live a very miserable life and be very, very unhappy and nobody be around you, and it's not anybody else's fault but your own because you want things that you don't have. More importantly, we believe that we're the center of all those things when it's simply not that true, right? So James calls this false wisdom. He says to believe that your life is your own and it revolves around yourself is very simply earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And he says this in verse 15 and 16, right? He says, this is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Haven't you noticed that people do horrible things when they believe the world is about them? Like, people will do things that are so uncharacteristic of them just because they think they're getting ahead. And then you look at those people, because you and I know that we look at those people and judge them poorly, because we're just like, if they didn't do anything like that, we might even be friends. Right? I mean, just if you're driving down the highway and then people cut you off, right? Like, people cut you off to get one car ahead and you're just like, what's the point of that? How far did you? We're all stuck in traffic, right? And then, like, some of us will react poorly. We get mad, right? We'll take it real personal. We'll flip the bird and we'll be like, hey, you, right? XYZ, we won't even say it here at church. But really, it doesn't really do much, does it? Right, but here's the problem, right? When you're that driver that actually cuts that other person off, because we know that that example was not about the other person, but really about us when we cut somebody off on the highway, was that we believe that when we cut ahead of that one car, even though we're stuck in traffic, we are getting ahead. Isn't that lying to ourselves? Isn't that vile? Like, why would you lie to yourself that way? Why would you believe that by getting one car ahead that your commute will get faster? That it would get better? And then you don't realize this because you're so angry that, you know, you couldn't get into the lane anyway. But that really becomes a problem, right? Because that's what you gripe about all day. Right? You go to work, you go to school, and you talk and tell your friends about that one incident. Or maybe if that's not, you know, really true, we talk about that position you didn't get. Or we talk about how you positioned yourself to get something, but you didn't really get it. And we realize that we're just a slave to it. You see, when we stop investing in ourselves and when we divest our ambition and jealousy from it, we actually become free. We become free to do exactly what we were created to do, because there is no standard that we're trying to hold up to. In fact, all we're trying to do is say, hey, God, here's your glory. I want you to do something in my life. And you know what? I want to follow what you're doing because I think what you're doing is pretty interesting. And when we actually ride on that train, we're free to serve. We're free to live in a way where we're not confined by the rules and the way the world is working. So do you see here how false wisdom traps us into lying to ourselves, thinking and making us believe that we deserve something we don't? But moreover, what it does is it fuels us to do things that are uncharacteristic of us. And because we think our self-value and our self-worth is this thing that we can't even fathom or put, you know, some type of value on, we live in slavery because we can never be set free. But if we knew that the truth and the two truths that hold all life together is that God is for God's glory, that He will do things in our lives for His glory so He can show us His glory, and that God has a plan for us and that God always had a plan for us and all we have to do is hop on that train and get onto it, then our lives would be so much freer. And I know this is so theoretical. This is like all out there and it's all abstract. And I'm telling you, you know, God does things in His glory and He shows you His glory. And you can't even remember the last time that God showed you any of His glory, because the last time you saw God's glory, you stepped into, you know, a pile of dog excrement and you're just like, oh man, these were brand new shoes. But this is really, really important to understand, because God's glory manifests itself in every moment, even in the small things. But we don't notice them because we're so distracted by ourselves. We're so blinded by the dirt that's around our eyes, by the crud that's surrounding us. You see, what's more demonic than making it personal, making it about us? Because isn't that exactly what Satan did when he left heaven? He said, I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of this God who gives me everything that I need. I want to be worshipped. Right? And so is the story of Satan. He leaves God's presence. He leaves God's glory because he's tired of it. Which makes me think, and which should make us all think, well, what are the marks of true wisdom then? And James says this in verse 17 through 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So James really loads it up, and what he's saying here is very simply that if God is ultimately about God and that He designed a way the world should work for us, if we decide that we are going to walk in God's plan, then I will be living the fullest life that I could possibly live when we're seeking God. Here's what that means, right? Because I know some of you are saying, well, Jonathan, what is God's plan for me? I feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I'm not affecting any change. I feel like I haven't gone anywhere the past year, the past 6 months. I haven't brought anything to the table. I haven't met anybody new. I haven't seen anything new. And yet you tell me that God is for God and that God manifests His glory in our lives, but it's simply not true. But he says this, right? He says, well, wisdom, which is the ability for us to act, in other words, do things that we know that God is doing, tells us, put yourself in a position so that you can act wise, not just be wise. You see, we all do stupid things, and I'll be the first to tell you that I do a lot of stupid things, and you know, my wife can tell you that I do stupid things, and my bosses tell you I do stupid things. Like yesterday, I broke our bathroom shower head because I got tired of looking at it, and you know, instead of taking it apart nicely, I broke it completely, and I don't know why, what compelled me, but it was probably being at the gym that made me lose all muscle control and action, and I kind of slammed the wrench where I shouldn't have slammed accidentally, right? And it broke, right? And what this just proves is we all do stupid things. Yes, it's true. And there's no getting around it that in those moments we're going to be called stupid, and we rightly deserve to be called stupid. But when we put ourselves, even if nothing else in our lives are changing, in a place where we can be pure, where we put ourselves in a place where we can have peace. When we do things, when we deal with other people in purity, not with our interests, but with their interests first, doesn't that cue us to see what God does in their lives and in ours? You see, James is getting to the point that God, and when he is in God's glory, is actually manifesting himself in how you interact with other people, with not only other Christians, with not only the people in this church, but your coworkers, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your siblings, your parents. When he manifests his glory, he's showing you the good things in life. Like Will's haircut, right? All of you noticed, that's good. That's manifesting God's glory, right? For him, it shows him the goodness of your heart, right? I mean, here's the same thing, right? We have this problem where we're not open to reason when we're full of not mercy, but the opposite of mercy, aren't we? We're just so ungrateful, and that there's really nothing sincere about us. Like, have you ever been to a mixer, and, you know, like one of those professional mixers, like networking events, and you're just like, you have to smile, and you're just like, it's horrible, right? Like, you don't actually feel like a genuine person. But James is saying, put yourself in a position to be genuine, to manifest wisdom, to be able to take advantage of God's glory, to take advantage of what God is doing. Because God is doing a lot of little things, but we have to stop and look and experience it. You see, it's then and there we get on what God is doing for our lives. You see, what we don't understand and what sometimes we fail to understand is that when God manifests himself, he's actually doing it through the people in our lives, through the connections in our lives. That our next opportunity, that the next door that opens is not because we opened the door, but because we showed a smile to someone who needed it that day, that moment. And I know that sounds like very like professional networky, but this is exactly what James is saying. The truth of the matter is that God always worked through people. That God manifested his miracles through other people. Right? And this is what we have to understand. That next miracle for someone else can be through our words, yes, but it can also be through our actions. But moreover, it can be what other people bring to us. Because they're also free to manifest themselves into God's wisdom. Free to serve us. Just the same way we're free to serve them. And when we serve them, we're free to experience God's glory. But moreover, we're free to understand Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus says in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. It means don't worry. Because there are things coming in your life because God has already made a plan. And this is not to say that you shouldn't work hard. And this is not to say that you shouldn't have dreams to become astronauts and doctors and maybe not astronauts, chefs and, you know, do things, right? Like, this is me saying that every opportunity that you have, regardless of where you are, regardless of where you want to be, is an opportunity for God to give us glory and to show us that there is something out there for you and me. And that when we are free, not because we're blinded by our own ambition, but because we are free to see what God has in store for the other person, that those things are manifested through us, we too can experience God's glory. We too can live in a way God intended the world to work. You see, wisdom acts in purity. It acts in peace. It yields to other people. It rocks your boat because it's sincere. You see, wisdom from above and being free comes from understanding and knowing that God's word transforms us. It transforms the people around us from the inside out. It shapes us to live like we should and do the things that we need to make us perfect in His sight. That doesn't come with a six-figure salary necessarily, but it comes from seeking Him and knowing that it's about Him, about God. And everything else that comes will come. You see, true wisdom is found only in the person of Jesus. And it always comes down to Jesus, because Jesus actually did what He said He would do. Jesus lived in the glory of God, knowing that when He died, He would glorify God by bringing the rest of us into His kingdom. You see, when we submit ourselves like Jesus did to God's glory, to God's way, to God's method, we receive God's blessing. Jesus is the example of that wisdom. A life submitted to God is God's blessing on us, because He adds glory to our lives. There is no reason for any of us to settle for anything less. There's no reason for any of us to live trying to get what we deserve. Because when we give God what He deserves, He gives us what we need. He gives us everything we ever desired, and then some. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we seek to live in Your plan for us. We accept that Your way is better than our way. We want to grow in peace, in meekness, in mercy, and produce righteousness, because we know that's true wisdom. To be free to serve people, because in Your glory, for Your glory, according to Your plans, that's what You designed us to do, in Your image, to love and be loved. Lord, I ask that we can seek Your kingdom, that we can be transformed by Your Son, by Your Holy Spirit, every single day, every single moment, that when our interactions come and go, that we can affect change, that we can manifest Your glory. Lord, I pray that wisdom can be upon us, that we can do things in our lives and enjoy our lives with the full blessings that You offer to us, because we are that wisdom. We are wise because we know better, because we know what the truth is. I thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.